Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth chat, discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week and the Champions League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are the topics for today's episode. Impressive Manchester United get the better of Man City, Fulham get a massive 3 points at Anfield versus the reigning champions, Spurs are flying with Harry Kane and Gareth Bale, an inconsistent and disappointing Arsenal draw at Burnley. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, Robbie Earl, only one place to start, my friend. We've done these before. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of them in the future. The Manchester Derby, however big that derby is to these Manchester City and United fans, I think is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
But wow, my friend. I mean, talk about good United turned up. Man City seemingly an awful start, Rob. And that's I guess, where we should start. I mean, an awful start for all reasons, not just the clumsy play from Gabriel Jesus, who's just starting to look like he may be the main number nine for this club for the foreseeable future. Clumsy tackle, foul for that penalty kick. But after that, Rob, the passing and the lack of drive, I think, you know, my first kind of note was sloppy, slow, cocky start from Manchester City.
Interesting. Sloppy, slow. Yeah. Cocky. Not sure. I'm totally cocky. I think I know where you're going.
Complacent is another word.
Maybe. I mean, you used the word, and I thought the Jesus tackle on Martial, 30-odd seconds into a derby, was clumsy at best. Yeah. I thought it was a clumsy Manchester City performance, Rob. That's the word. I thought they were clumsy. I thought the second goal, when ball gets thrown out from Henderson to Luke Shaw, Cancelo, clumsy with the challenge, gets beat too easy in the press. Five players out of the game, all of a sudden Manchester United can blow forward. But to start off, I'm going to say, congratulations, well done, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. There was a plan. Rob, we've said here, we've sat here, we've been critical of Ole and said, well, he doesn't have a plan. He had a plan today. The plan was set up with a team that was well committed, and the team that showed good quality when they got into an area of the pitch. It wasn't a game, wasn't a win that's been reliant on an individual who's pulled a bit of magic or two bits of magic and we've gone brilliant. You know, United are good, but they rely. It was a team performance. It was full of commitment. And there was two things I noticed, Rob, that the Marcus Rashford run back when he actually gets himself injured with his ankle, a 60, 70-yard run back to win the ball tells me everything about the team when Rashford really could be a stay on the left wing. Mo Salah's not doing that in any day and anything as good as Liverpool are and as good as he is. The second thing I saw, Rob, and I don't know if you saw, if, depending on how you watch the broadcast and saw all of it, when Bruno Fernandes got took off, and I think we're about in the last 5 minutes of the game, and the shot was a Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But behind him was Bruno Fernandes. And I don't know if you saw Bruno Fernandes. He was looking up and down the pitch and he was pointing to his mate.
Yeah, I did see.
He was in for the whole thing. Now, people have said, oh, he's a star and he only plays in the big games and that. That was commitment. That's somebody who's committed to the team and committed to the cause. And I thought today, Ollie, Manchester United and the group of players deserve a lot of credit because I didn't see it. I didn't see this kind of result. I thought at best they can get a draw. At best they're going to have to counter. I thought at times they played good football. They had good possession. And, you know, on a better day, if you know, they might have even gone on and scored a third goal.
So I can't disagree, Rob, with most things you've said there, right? Of course, yeah. It's a day for congratulating the manager. It was a day when they did everything really well. And I think, you know, you talk about a man with a plan. I think in general, against good sides that possess and come at them and they feel that they're a little inferior in terms of possession, they do a pretty good job of being rugged, well-organized and counter-attacky. And that's what they were again. Took advantage of a slow start and the mistake. And always then showed that extra bit of determination, back to your Marcus Rashford point, because they're in a situation, Rob, where they're winning. It's a derby game. You know, you get 1-0 up and it's like, wow, this is really big for us. Now, again, I don't want to put down this victory, Rob, but the point you're saying about Rashford running 60 yards back to make a tackle, brilliant. Does he do it every week, Rob, when it's not something so big as a Manchester derby and you're winning the Manchester derby? And again, Rash, brilliant player. Love him to bits. But that extra bit of determination was obviously there to see from all players, from everybody. Brilliant. But I would just argue, Rob, if you look at the recent results in other games, are they as driven and as work-like conscious in other games? They did it today. They got the benefit of the start. Strong, something to build on, look great going forward. Luke Shaw, as you said, again, we talked about him, what, 3 or 4 days ago, Rob, as being a star player right now. And I'm going to say it right now, he's my underappreciated performer of the weekend as I'm on a roll. Luke Shaw.
Well, get it in early. We'll
get it in early because we talked about it last time. But again, he should be getting more appreciation, Robbie. I think Gareth Southgate will be appreciating what he's doing right now, not just those forward runs and not just the goal he scored today. You know, it's everything. His all-round game is really at a high level. Now, if that's the manager to get him to this point, then well done, because that's real progress. And we've seen previous managers not so keen on Luke Shaw. I've always thought he's a really, really good player, but he's showing it now under the manager. But just to go back to my point, Rob.
Yeah.
And it's a great win, mate. But
I hear what you're saying. Drive. Some people might say that wasn't there against Palace. And I'll take the point, and I think it's a good point. I think that's part of the gap that Manchester United have to close, is that every game should feel, should have that, it's like a Manchester derby. Because we've seen with the plan, with the commitment, with the ability, then they look a decent team. Then they've just beaten the best team in England who've been on a run for as much as they can. And I think, you know, you make an important point with Ollie. But I want to make also, and as the game was playing out today, and we didn't have a load of time between the matches to make the point.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to say, Rob, and in possession, I think City had more. Not sure how the shots and that went, but you know, I thought United had a couple of good opportunities anyway. Keeper made saves, etc., etc. But the thing I was thinking as I was watching the two teams is Manchester United's challenge is to close the gap, 11 points now, and you know, hopefully they can close it down. But whatever, close the gap to City. Don't think they're going to win the title still, and become title winners again. That's kind of the aim. My sense with this team is do it your way, though. Because you know what? They're not going to be able to be City. They're not City. They can't play like City. They can have a style that can possess
more. Yeah, but what's their way? What are you talking about? What do you mean, their way?
Well, I'm saying that even though today City, you know, were a bit sloppy, but had more possession and will look better on the eye than Manchester United, I think, however they are under Pep, I think these United can find their way of winning and becoming a title-winning team, and it doesn't have to be City style. Liverpool didn't play as probably pleasing on the eye, but Liverpool had that intensity in the front three and keeping it in. I'm saying that Manchester United have to find their thing, but don't, I think like Ollie was sort of alluding to before the game, you know, Pep does his thing and that's fine, but we don't all have to do it. We're not all measurable by City's kind of way of playing, yeah. Inverted wing backs and, you know, people pushing in and five in the attack. Other teams can win it other ways. And I think Manchester United are big enough, strong enough, and they have to understand that. Find your way and then go on about it with that commitment and with the plan.
It's a good point, and it naturally makes me want to come back with what he said afterwards, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And it was really interesting. And his way, I believe, is not solely counter-attacking football. That's what he wants his way to be. Afterwards, he said, you know what, I was disappointed. His interview afterwards.
After the first 15 minutes.
He got the goal, and there was a period of time that after that goal where they're bossing possession a little bit. And I'm sat there thinking, and I'm obviously he was too, like, this is what he wants. A bit more controlling United, a bit more assured United with the ball. Keep the ball, make City run around a little bit. That's what he wants, Rob. And then when you play Crystal Palace and you play other sides that they haven't got 3 points, that possession, that probing, that tiring out might help them get all 3 points in those games. I think what he's saying is he doesn't feel like for them to get to where they want to be ultimately as champions, they can't do it with the style they're playing right now. Not far off, obviously, but that extra possession and control is what I think he wants. And he saw it for like 15, 20 minutes after they scored against City. That's what he wanted. And I think he sounded frustrated that in the second half when City started to find their passing a little bit, they couldn't maintain it. And then, of course, in a game like that, you naturally like a bit more careful and you play on a counter-attack. But interesting, just an interesting game, Robert. And just swing it to City, Rob. Is it after listening to Kevin Bruyne?
Can I just have a quick couple of mentions to people at United because I just wanted to chuck in. Aaron Wan-Bissaka scares Raheem Sterling. Sterling doesn't fancy against Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka can have him. One-on-one defending, he's almost like, leave me one-on-one, I'm good. And we've seen Sterling turn people in. I think he deserves a bit of credit on the other side. You've mentioned Luke Shaw, you're underappreciated player this season. I just want to throw this one in because we kind of got there with Tim and he didn't. Is this Dean Henderson's opportunity to become Manchester United's number one? If there's talk that De Gea might miss 3 or 4 games, we know he's gone to see his girlfriend, wife, who's just had a baby, and hopefully everything goes with that. There might be a period of isolation when he comes back. We're going to go through the Milan Europa games. They've got important games. If he plays well, Rob, keeps enough clean sheets. Is this the turn? Is this the start of the turnover?
I think it's okay. So I think the popular answer to that would be, this is an opportunity for Dean Henderson over a period of games to show what he can do. Yeah. What I would add in my own personal opinion about this and my gut feeling is, if he's immaculate, Rob, and he makes great saves, I think he's got to perform at his ultimate best level. To then say that when David Hare comes back, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to have to say to him, listen, you know, I understand, but he's been such good form. I owe it to him to stay in the goal. So, I do agree with the popular answer. All I would say is he's got to be really, really good. And De Gea, I still really like David De Gea. And I understand the mistakes recently. I understand people don't think he's quite what he was. I just think Dean Henderson to beat him out, to prove to be better than David De Gea, my goodness, that's a tough ask. And maybe he does it, Rob. And maybe he goes as a brilliant stretch of games. That, for me, would be the only way that by the end of the season, he's not lost his place. He's got to be absolutely immaculate because David De Gea has gone home for the birth of his child with his girlfriend in Spain. I mean, he was number one before that. But Dean Henderson, maybe going back to your question, mate, maybe it's the opportunity for him to be that good. But he's got to be that good to stay number one for me.
See, my take is I think similar to yours, but where I maybe slightly different. I think at some point between now and the end of the season, we kind of need to find out. I think this is a perfect opportunity for what's going to maybe next year. And it might be that he plays really well and he goes, you know what, might be time in the summer. Or he doesn't play as well and we go, we still need to play. But he gets a little loop with you know, almost top four guaranteed to a certain position. You know, they'd like to finish second. He can have a look at the goalkeeper. Because at some point, we need to find out about Dean Henderson. Or Dean Henderson will probably want to leave and go and play.
Particularly, I was just going to say, particularly because of the last week or so, Rob, there's been a couple of stories like, this isn't good for him. He's going to want to move on. So I think you make a brilliant point. You know, now is the time to figure out whether he is going to be number one, because there's no point Dean Henderson staying at United next season if he's still going to be sat on the bench. I mean, if you, I guess a club like Man United, you can have two great goalkeepers, you know, at your club, but Dean Henderson isn't going to want to do it, Rob, is he?
So no, you're right. Ambitious
this
player.
Is a, it's a good point. He's going to have to figure out, ready going into the summer, what he feels is going to be there, or who he feels is going to be number one. Yeah. Interesting.
Because I know you wanted to have a quick talk about Pep and sort of, you, it sounds to me like you're quite disappointed with what you saw and how they went about it today.
I just thought they had a bad day. I thought they started off very slow. Kevin De Bruyne gave the ball away quite a few times. You know, some of the passing from the back and the composure and that swagger, which we enjoy with teams playing well, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody can say that. I mean, the first 10, 15 minutes of the game, I just think they thought this is kind of easy. We've won 21 games. I just think there was a little bit of complacency in their football. And then, by the way, as you know, if you start badly in a game, isn't it hard? Yeah. It's hard to find that football again. And when did they get it? Like into the second half, like when they started to knock it around, they just looked not bothered. And like, you know what? We don't really need to go to war with Man United after they went 1-0 up. We don't really need to pull out the stops. We've got Champions League games coming up, etc. I thought that the De Bruyne, Pep Guardiola afterwards were very much like, you know, De Bruyne knows sometimes it just doesn't happen. It's not always easy. And Pep was, you know, the run is amazing. I just think they weren't that bothered. But again, before United fans start jumping, you know, Man United, of course, you know, ensured that they gave them no reason to want to get back in the game and were the better side for sure. Yeah. But that was an off day for Man City, Rob. I mean, I think everybody would agree with that. When nobody played well, just didn't look like scoring. Didn't look like scoring a team that's been so good throughout the season with different people scoring different goals. It's just a bad day for them, and they were well beaten on the day.
Looking at the bench, Rob, it was a strong bench. I think there was Torres, there was Foden, there was Bernardo Silva, there was Aguero. Might we start to see one or two of those? Kind of, is Aguero time coming back?
Well, we always see the others. I mean, everybody else gets. I mean, that's the rotation is the rotation. The question is whether Sergio Aguero, in his manager's eyes, is ready to get more minutes, Rob.
Drupal coming up, Rob, aren't we? This is the important time now, the next 10, 12 games.
I think we chatted about this before, Rob. I just don't know whether, with the games remaining, right, there's not many games left in the Premier League. It's nitty gritty in knockout stages in the Champions League. Is he going to be ready to make an impact, Rob? Or is it going to be the same guys, maybe a false nine, maybe Gabriel Jesus, maybe the odd off the bench from Sergio Aguero? I feel like you're expecting him to get minutes and be a starting player in the next month.
I'm expecting him to get minutes and then we'll find out if he's a starting player. It's a bit like the Dean Henderson. I kind of feel like, is Sergio Aguero still the Sergio Aguero we know, or is some of that been dimmed away? It's a bit like the Gareth Bale. You know, we've seen the best of Bale now because he's hung back. I personally want to find out if Sergio Aguero is still, maybe he's seen things in training that we don't see, and he's not quite as sharp as he was. But for me, if I've got an Aguero around, I want to know, is he or isn't he, you know, that guy? Because today I'm thinking, if you took an Aguero on at 1-0 at half time, you're still in the game.
Wonder why I didn't do it, Rob. Wonder why I didn't do it.
Only they will know. But let's move it on, mate, because United getting the most in. And let's remember, just a note to your underappreciated performer of the week, Luke Shaw, that I totally agree with him, playing outstanding at the moment. Mm. Let's move it on to another big story of the weekend, my friend. Liverpool Football Club have now lost six straight games at Anfield. And they lost today to Fulham. All credit. And the first thing we got to do is credit Scotty Parker and his team for the win.
Excellent.
It's not all about Lingy. But I just want to make a point, Rob, of what jumped thought came to me as I was watching the game. At this point last season, Liverpool were streets ahead of everybody in the league, playing incredible football at a level. This point last season, Fulham were probably, and I don't know the actual position, but probably fighting to get a place in the playoffs. That's the turnaround in what would be classed as 6 months or 12 months, if you want to take year to year, is incredible. Mm. It's incredible.
Mm. I mean, it's a team that goes off just goes off, doesn't it? And it gets worse, progressively worse. That's what I always get astonished. And there's other examples that I can't think of right now. But you know, you see it at Sheffield United as an example, Rob, where you're like, wow, they lost the first. I'm like, well, you know, they're still playing well. They're missing the finishing touches. But the more it goes on, the more confidence gets affected. And in this case, it's the same situation. We know where this all started from. It all started from the injuries and then different players going out of position. They kind of got away with it a little bit, had some bad results, some weird results. And then it got worse and worse and worse. And now you're in a situation where the confidence on the back of that is low. And I think as well, on top of that, when you talk about Liverpool last year that were flying, that was so dominant, that is everybody's fit, flying, something special is happening with a title challenge. There's every reason to play at your highest level, which takes a ton of effort every single week. That's gone now. They're not going to win the Premier League title. And I see the desire waning a little bit, all on the back of injuries, bad play, confidence goes down. Nah, not much to play for in the Premier League, and it's all compounding. And I think Jurgen Klopp...
Well, top four to play for, Rob. I know you said Rob, top four to play for, Champions League football. There's no guarantee this team, playing as they are, go and win the Champions League. And I hear what you say in terms of the word playing well. And I've always said the hardest thing to explain to people is confidence. Because when you've got it, you know it. And when you haven't got it, you know it. But it's the hardest thing to explain. And right now, there's a group of players. But there would be a period, and I'm not talking last season's best 11 of Liverpool. There would be a period when Liverpool could put out a B team that would beat Fulham. And now, some might argue the team that played was sort of B teamish with Nico Williams, Reece Williams, Nat Phillips, etc. But you would expect that team still, with the quality that's laced around it, with the experience, with the know-how, with the international footballers, that they could still get the job done.
So let's figure out why they didn't get the job done. Defensively, ton of changes, 7 changes to the whole team, by the way. Defensively, Robertson, Reece Williams, Nat Phillips and Nico Williams, inexperienced, I thought it showed. Nico Williams, and again, it's never our style to really criticise certainly younger players. He doesn't quite look up to it, particularly defensively, Rob, and he can come again and he can learn and whatever. He got caught out of position many, many times. So, you know, defensively, a brittle kind of foundation they're working on right now, okay? And you saw Alisson a few times was like getting frustrated and was pointing the finger, etc. That's one thing, right? And that's kind of...
You understand that a little bit,
understandable.
Maybe. Yeah.
Front players, Robbie Earl. Front players. Now, I think I, for the most part, have been like, well, they're the front three, really, really great players. It's only a matter of time before they'll find their mojo and the connections and the chemistry. And I've been a little bit harsh on Roberto Firmino because I don't think he's looked near to that. But now, they look hopeful. Their attacks are based on hope. There's no real... I feel like in terms of chemistry, they're playing a little bit individually, Rob. A little bit individually. Now, Mane came on and Mo Salah's kind of an individual player, but it looks like there's no synergy with their attack at the moment. And that's what's been their key over the last few seasons and the way that they've just combined and they've just done their magic and things have happened. Now, that's been off for a little bit of time, but I thought today, gosh, just didn't look like scoring. Didn't look like scoring. And it was kind of a hopeful thing that we've criticised like Man United sometimes where it looks like they're attacking. Like, do they even know what they're trying to do? It just looks a little bit off the cuff. I've got to say today, for the first time, maybe that's my bad, I don't spot it, but like, I just thought they looked like nothing looked like hopeful, Rob. But they're building up and trying to find passes and combination in more hope than real strategy. And that's something that today for me was apparent. Again, for others, it might have been apparent for a few weeks, but I just thought, wow, there's nothing. Didn't look like scoring, Rob. And that is so unlike an attacking play. And I think Rebecca's been hinting, like, this can't all be about the injuries.
It's something
more now with those front players that are just, they are below 50% of effectiveness and effort and determination, etc., to a point where it's like, gosh, these numbers now, Rob, if going from champions to this now, all of a sudden, it's not a crisis. But I can understand how some people are starting to say, this is unraveling into something that's pretty awful on the back of all these injuries that everybody understands has affected a play. But wow, Rob, I am shocked.
I mean, they sit eighth in the table now, Rob. And I'm like you, I'm looking, thinking, this is more than injuries. We absolutely can point to the injuries and the timing injuries and the way. What we're seeing now is beyond injuries, and that's the slight worry for me, that this just looks more than that, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know, sometimes you have to be within a club or around the club to know more, to understand more, but there's something, that touchy thing, there's something there, Rob, that, you know, young players can come in and be inspired, young players can come in and take their opportunity and push on. I mean, this is a Fulham team who's the first time in the Premier League. You know, Ademola Lookman's on loan from RB Leipzig is coming in and making the most of his opportunities, and Loftus-Cheek and Maguire and Caballero and the likes. You know, there's no substitute for trying and having a go, and something's broken at Liverpool, Rob. And I don't know, I'm not quite sure what it is or who it is or how it works.
Something's a little bit broken. Broken is a strong word, right? Were we saying that? Maybe we were saying that last season. I've just looked at the league table from last year. Now, Man City had an off season, right? I would be more of, this is just an off season. Circumstance, injuries, they've been at such a high physical level for two or three seasons that maybe they're like, you know, we can't do it. You know, Man City lost 9 games last year, but still finished second. And that's when you say the eighth in the league table. That's a worry. I would just throw it back to you, Rob. Can Liverpool fans take solace in? Well, it's an off season and they can rebound. When you say broken,
because part of what Liverpool were about were brilliant forwards, all committed, playing really well, chemistry, intensity of midfield, closing, keeping the ball on, high press, energy. Some of those things, Rob, I don't know if you can just solder them together and it all clicks again. Maybe changing of some of the faces might regenerate it in that, but I'm not sure we can go to Robert, to Bobby Firmino, Mane and Salah, who are all different now, who are all playing a little different. I don't know if that you just somehow click that back together and it all starts working again. Mm.
Well, of course, the man that's got to try and solder it together is Jurgen Klopp, Rob. Mm. And do you think that his words now, after, what is it, 4 or 5 years in charge at the club, is it that his words are less powerful?
Yeah, it's a Pep scenario that we had, and you know, we don't know. It's an interesting summer for the football club. It's an interesting summer for Klopp. It's an interesting summer for the ownership group. It's an interesting summer for what they, you know, what gets spent, what doesn't, who stays, who doesn't. Club have been, you know, 30-year wait, had a brilliant campaign and played some scintillating football, are going to have some tough decisions to make in the summer. But I do want to pass it over and spend a couple of minutes on Fulham, Rob, because turnaround for Liverpool is, if you go back to those first two games when we saw Fulham, and we love Scotty, I love Fulham as a football club, we should absolutely enjoy going there when I lived in London. Good people, great football club, always good to watch, and you're well received. But I just thought, it's not going to happen for them this year after the first few games. Their turnaround, their football, their confidence in what they're doing, their confidence in the manager, their belief in themselves is as big as Liverpool's demise has been.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I mean, it's in some ways, of course, we focus on the big clubs, Robin, in our show. and football, the Premier League in general does. But I tell you what, it's really impressive to see a manager, young manager, make such change. And you're right, for all those players to believe they're onto something that can keep them in the Premier League. I mean, I know there's a ton of players that are on loan and it's kind of patched together in some ways, but what a patch job. What a patch job of the players that's brought in and the football that they're playing, Rob, the confidence that they've got and a bit of brightness they got in those attacking players and what Madge's brought to the side as well. I mean, they don't look like a team that's going to get relegated. And of course, you know, we can look at Newcastle United and they're in a bit of a, They're in a crisis right now. Yeah. And you'd think with the points getting equal, like, wow. I mean, Fulham's still got work to do, Rob, but
yeah,
it's just a really...
I'd rather be in their camp than anybody else down there. I'd rather be in their camp.
Absolutely.
And just before we move on, Rob, my underappreciated player of the week goes to Joachim Andersen, the big centre-back, Rob, on loan. I think he's on loan from Lyon. He's 24 years of age. He's a man back there. He can win it. He can play. Looks like he's got a little bit about him to organise those in and around him. Right now, he would be a perfect fit for Liverpool Football Club, by the way. Big, good size, can play, looks commanding, looks like he can organise up. He's 24 years of age. He's on loan, Rob, and he's one of those that one or two might look at it. Yeah. Well, Fulham will obviously want to try and keep him themselves, but one or two others might just look at him and think, There's a player in there.
Yeah, it's a good shout. And I think it could have been him or his partner, Tosin.
Yeah,
Tosin. From Man City for a very small amount of dollars. Yes. I thought the pair of them were incredible. Absolutely phenomenal back there. And I tell you what, it's just going to be fun to see it. We always want a race. We always want entertainment. We've got a race. We've got a very interesting race at the bottom. And Fulham, my goodness, what is it? The second ever win at Anfield.
It's
pretty impressive, you know, and... it's an interesting game, and I just got a note here, Rob, of Liverpool. They lost at home to Burnley, Brighton, and Fulham in 2021. Mm-hmm. Three clubs at Anfield in this calendar year. It's amazing game and performance. And,
That's why we love it, my friend. That's why we love it. Let's move it on to Tottenham Hotspur.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who managed to get 4 goals. Bale is back with a brace. Harry is still the king of Tottenham with a brace and 2 assists. I mean, it's a different Tottenham, Rob, but we've got to be liking it a little bit, haven't we?
Who doesn't like it? Who doesn't like it, Rob? And who hasn't been wanting this? And again, Gareth Bale's quality. Wow. I mean,
A month ago, we were saying, Rob, weren't we, like, come on, Gareth, is he ever going to be that player? Is he really ever going to be that player?
And we didn't think he was going to be the same player, Rob.
The Mark II Bale is always going to be.
A little older, but he's still got, obviously, what we're seeing now. And I love players that things happen with. Now, things happen with Bale when he plays. Things happen. He can find a pass, he can cross a ball, he can head balls in his header today from Harry Kane's header. And I think it's just like, again, we'll never know whether he was ready a month ago. I mean, wasn't everybody in the football world thinking,
yeah,
why isn't Bale? And I know he's had little injuries and muscle things and all that. And maybe Jose Mourinho has done the right thing in being really, really careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're seeing the benefits. That's obviously a scenario, but it's just, I watching Spurs on the front foot, Rob, dominating the play and looking great. I mean, they're so good to watch with those players.
Yeah.
And it's like, one of my notes was like, this is the way the Spurs should defend. I mean, like with the ball.
Yeah, higher up the front. Yeah.
Away from your own goal. Instead of being so worried about being such a strong protecting team, get on the ball. Like City are playing well, their defense is amazing because they've got the ball all the time.
Yeah.
And they're so far away from their own goal. I just love watching Spurs, Rob, when you got these players and talented forwards that are combining, linking together. I mean, Harry Kane, wow. I mean, talk about if you're a striker or forward, Rob, can you do any more than he'd done in this game? I mean, he did everything you could. I mean, there's one where he cleared it away from his goalkeeper, assisting, scoring.
16 goals, 13 assists. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And he swept it into the top corner, Rob. The goal.
Oh, come on. I mean, that's Kane all over, isn't it? That Harry Kane. I mean, what's really interesting, Rob, is, and I think as a Spurs fan, I think that's four wins in the last, 11, 12 days now for Spurs. So, gloom's been lifted. Top six. They've got a really, which could be really exciting end to the season, but an end to season that, before the international break, they got Zagreb in the Europa League. They got North London Derby. They got Zagreb, and they go Aston Villa. It's a little finding out around that period. And then we've got, obviously, coming, looking forward into April, they got the League Cup final. If they can kind of rotate the Fab Four that it was Dele Alli and now includes Lucas Moura, Lamella comes on and does a little bit. You still got Ndombele, who didn't play because Winks played today. It starts to look like, on a good day, Spurs can test anyone in the league.
They're 7 points off the top four, Rob. We know the Europa League is a massive priority for Jose.
Yeah.
Does he, and we've had this conversation with Danny Higginbottom, where he feels that generally...
He thinks he goes all in for that, yeah.
All in the Europa League. But given how they look at the moment, isn't that mistake?
You can't, Rob. I think that's dangerous. I think it's a balancing act, and I think that's why... We didn't see Dele today. I think Dele starts in Europe. I think he can do that with a few. He took Bale off. I think whether Bale starts or, Ndombele might start. I think he's going to start to look at... I think he's going to stay strong in two for as long as he can. I don't think he has to at this point go all my eggs in Europa basket. Why would you?
Yeah. Just a random little appreciation shout out. Lucas Moura, Rob, is playing in the 10 role where Dele and people like us and media want to see Dele Alli. I thought Lucas Moura, by the way, was excellent in terms of he got the first goal and nicking the ball from the number 10 role. He's a bundle of energy and might be just a little bit of yin and yang to the Bale and the Son and the Kane of energy in that in a modern number 10 where he's not so much of a playmaking guy, but he's just a nuisance, great pressing, and also he can get forward in his pace. And I just thought Lucas played well today. I mean, everybody played well, obviously.
Yeah.
Sure,
you know what I mean? It's the kind of Jesse Lingard when Jesse Lingard used to play there, isn't he? Can set attacks and adds a little bit of legs and energy sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes starts to press, actually, maybe when the big boys are all greening. But yeah, it's a good shout and a good win for Spurs. And as you say, top six, all of a sudden not too far away from top four. And Jose, at this stage, I don't think is prioritising anything. Yeah. Let's move to the North London team, Rob, because I know there's a little bit of... Maybe frustration, really, in terms of where are we with Arsenal and Arteta. They sit 10th in the league. They've lost 11 Premier League games this season. They were 1-0 up, and I thought, and I'll get your opinion, I thought for 25, 30 minutes, they played some really good football. They worked it from the back. The setup was he had Chambers as a right back, but quite narrow and dealing with the aerial threat. He had Tierney on the left-hand side pushing high, Willian coming in. I thought the shape looked good. They created one or two chances, got the goal from Aubameyang early on, didn't get the second. And then, as ever with Arsenal, you're waiting for something, and Granit Xhaka gave you the something, and all of a sudden the game seemed to change from that moment on. And an error kind of disrupts them a little bit, loses a little bit of focus. Listen, there's arguments about whether it should have not been a penalty and all that, and listen, you'll get them, you won't get them, maybe this season, next season. But the control of the game was never quite the same as they had in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, I just think Arsenal, they're just a team of drama, Rob, aren't they? I mean, it's like, you know, they always... I mean, it's like, again, I've got here, my main note is another day, another game that they should win. And, and on another day in the future, they win that comfortably. But they don't. And how many times have we said that? I mean, the playing out from the back with Granit Xhaka, right? And I felt from a little bit. I saw his tweet that he put out, Rob, about apologising.
Yeah, hands up, my fault. Instagram,
And it's a player that I'm when he did it and he went in, I'm trying to put myself in his head. And I know he's been complaining recently, or like about people hammering on Twitter and don't, you know,
social media.
It's had so much stick, and I'm sure it will continue. But I thought it was a nice touch just to say, you know what, I'm sorry, it's my bad. I think, like you showed on the graphic on the broadcast, I just don't understand that coming to the ball as midfield players. It's like a sweep it out, and I know he's left foot. The goalkeeper knocked it in a pace that, I mean, they all know that that's on.
Yeah.
And it just took a touch. Now, the pitch at Burnley is poor. Was he just trying to be extra safe and careful? Maybe. But it was on. It was absolutely on, just to sweep it out there. I think just on the first goal, Rob, just as note, because I know that certain fans will say, well, why do they keep playing out from the back? The first goal was a great goal.
Brilliant goal. Brilliant,
That's kind of why they do it.
Xhaka, Willian through goal,
Yeah, because if you play through that pressure, there's spaces all through the team that you can, you know, and that was a great example. So, yeah, it just, you know, and it wasn't just about, I think Mikel Arteta was talking about it afterwards, Rob. It wasn't just about the Granit Xhaka mistake. There's a ton of time left after that.
Yeah.
Arsenal missed great chances. Great chances. They should have won the game anyway. You know, you know, the one that Saka missed with his little left foot.
Yeah, it came through to him. He just got to poke it in. Aubameyang had a couple of half chances. I mean, Pepe's a bit unlucky, the one that goes over the top. And yeah, and it's just like, it's at some point, they've got to get over this thing, haven't they? They've got to stop doing this. They've got to find a way to win. Otherwise, we're just going to be like, it stops progress, basically.
It's almost like not ways to win, but find ways not to blow it. Because they've looked better. They've looked better, created stuff. They're blowing situations where, like, wow, can't believe they didn't win that game and it's happened again. Just on the penalty, Rob, and we don't, you know, I was surprised it wasn't given, you know, and I'm somebody, his arm is
a long way away from his body, isn't it?
90 degrees out. Another ball's at a short area, but our understanding is, and my goodness, we go to the PGMOL many times about this, is that if it's away from your body, like, that's one thing. Okay, it's away from your body. But is that an expected position given that situation?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's worth ever to have it right out
like
that.
I think things are then the distance of the ball away from the hand might have been the only other thing they could have looked at. But
it's not over. It's not override.
It feels clear and obvious error to me. And I agreed. Yeah. I thought that Burnley got a little bit fortunate with that one. But this is one of those where, at first, I'm starting to feel sorry for Arteta because you kind of feel like his progress has been hindered. But in a way, this is what he's got to do. Scotty Parker had problems with Fulham defensively and dealt with them. Looked at a three, looked at five, looked at personnel, got the shape, and has now got a system that suits his players and team. Mikel Arteta has got to find a way, to, as you say, stop the drama, stop the mistakes, if that's what it is. At times be safer. Maybe if Bert Leno sees it coming on and thinks it's a tight, kick it long. Maybe if that's what you have to do once or twice. Yeah. If there's a risk, kick it long and we'll play from there.
You talked about Spurs' upcoming games, Rob. Let me give you Arsenal's. Olympiacos away, obviously, first of the two legs. Spurs at home, London derby. Olympiacos away at home. West Ham away, Liverpool home. So you talk about defining periods and tough runs. That's a really tough run. And I think the last thing I think we just touch on is just the manager, Robert Arsenal, Mikel Arteta, and they're sitting at eighth place, you know.
They sit in 10th place.
Are they?
Arsenal are 10th.
Right, sorry. Yeah, 10th place. Is what would turn... I don't feel there's, and rightly so in my opinion, I don't feel there's a real spotlight on Mikel Arteta, Rob, and the job he's doing at Arsenal. Yeah. But I know that Rebecca asked you the question and kind of, but how long can Arsenal be in 10th, Rob, before there starts to be a bit more heat on Arteta?
I think he gets a relative buy, if that's the right word, through till the end of the season. I think first half of next season, we have to see improvement. Yeah. I think if we're getting to Christmas with things, I think we're talking maybe even that window, I think we've got it. And listen, this is the week that he's been linked to Barcelona job.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think Arsenal fans...
His wine bar in Stamford called Barcelona. I thought he was going to manage that.
I think the only thing, of course, the window will be really important for Arsenal. I'm going to be sat playing golf, mate. I'll get off the golf course. I'm going to look at my phone. I'm going to see who Arsenal signed. I just worry that there ain't much money there for Arteta, which would be...
So then they're starting to become a mid-table team. And it was a couple of weeks ago, Rob, I said on the show, and a couple of people questioned my thing, I said, Arsenal are the biggest club in the capital. And I still stand by that, the biggest club. Yeah. Not current, not relevant, not most successful, the biggest club. At some point soon, Rob, it was 2004 the last time Arsenal won a title. You cannot be 10th in the league and have been in falling away year after year since the Wenger years and the Emery years, and then now we'll be the Arteta years, and still be the biggest club in the capital. So there's an important 2 or 3 years for this football club, Rob, and some big decisions have got to be made above Mikel Arteta in terms of what the ambition and what the drive of this club, because you know what? Global reach can start to shrink. Yeah. New fans can start to turn.
Yeah, and when you look at that comparison of Arsenal and Spurs, and you know, a Spurs with their new stadium and everything else, are they trying to edge by and get past Arsenal? Of course, they got a ton of trophies to do that. I look at the Manchester, and I did think actually about Man City and another Premier League title, most probably, and maybe a Champions League title. They're a load behind Man United, Robbie Earl, but Man United haven't, you know.
2013 won its last title.
Slowly but surely chiseling away at that gap between trophies. Yeah. Listen, I know how big United are compared to City, but as time goes on, new fans watching the Premier League, et cetera, City are winning a lot of silverware at the moment. Anyway, I digress.
Let's move on to a couple of other results, mate, that we'll just touch on. Brighton 1, Leicester 2. Little worries, alarm bells for me for our good friend, our coaching buddy, Graham Potter. We both admire, both love.
Have faith, Robbie Earl. You're too bloody.
Got 1-0 up, but I'm worried for our friend. I think I'm going to have to somehow fly to England.
What does your eye tell you? When you watch them play, what does your eye tell you?
My eye tells me that they're Bournemouth. That they're wedded to this style. They're wedded to this style. I thought this result at the weekend was an alarm.
Come on, son.
I know, I'm hoping, but I just think now there's doubt. Once doubt comes into some of what they're doing, it's a problem. Can't find a regular goal scorer. Lovely football again. Should have been 2-0 up and maybe the game's different. They don't. They lose in the manner they lose. Keeper makes an error. The keeper slightly worries me a little bit because we don't know anything about him. What if he's off to chuck a couple in?
No, and they're banging. They're right in it, Rob.
I'm hoping I'm wrong, and I'd love to see Graham Potter survive in his team because I think he's a good coach and I think he'll develop into a good team and they'll be fine. They've just got to find a way to make sure they stay in there this year.
Do you think Leicester will stay in there? Top four?
Yes, I said before, I think we had that discussion. I think people will come back. I think there's a little bit about them. They weren't great first half, made adjustments, played better. The passing was more secure. Movements were better. Chances. Iheanacho's finding goals, which is important. Body's gone quiet, but Iheanacho's looking more like a forward. That's a bonus. And then if Madison to come and Hobby Barnes to come back, players coming back, giving them a lift. I believe in Brendan. I think this group have learnt from last season. I think they can hang in there.
Yeah. How did you expect the West Brom Newcastle game to go? 0-0, Robbie Earl. Did anybody think it'd be a shot in this game?
Correct. Somebody said, based on all the drama that's happened at St. James's Park over the last week, there'll be no drama on the football pitch. There wasn't an awful lot of it. I think this always benefits. If anybody, I fancied West Brom to nick it. I thought Sam would have his team set up, and by John's come in and
they look better. Well, they look better. Yeah. A few times
better
of the two.
Better of the two, but no problems ahead for Newcastle United, Robin, and it moves us on to the sort of the interesting part of the table right now is the bottom and the fight against relegation. And we've had our partners PointsBet Sportsbook look at the latest relegation odds for teams down there, and starting at Sheffield United at the bottom, -10,000, so pretty much telling us everything about Chris Wilder. Now, I just want to come back to you on Chris Wilder. Remember to have a chat about him after we've looked at the odds. But the other odds are West Bromwich Albion, -5,000. So second place. Newcastle United, +100.
These are the interesting bits now, Robin. Those first two, they need like miracles, basically. So this is the interesting bit.
It almost feels like there's one spot to go.
There's one spot to go. So go ahead. So was it Newcastle what? +100?
+100. Fulham, +170. Brighton, +400. And Burnley, +650.
Yeah.
So they right now believe that the run of form that Fulham are on, the demise and the crisis that continues at Newcastle with Steve Bruce and St. James's Park, that Fulham are a better bet to stay up than Newcastle United right now.
I agree with
you. You agree?
I think the odds are really, really good. I mean, Brighton at plus 400, maybe they could have been a little lower, Rob, in terms of the price, given where they are right now. But I kind of agree with that. I think Brighton are going to still prove over the remaining games that they're good enough to stay in the division. I think Burnley will as well. I think that's the interesting bit. And that's kind of close. +100 and +170 for Fulham is kind of close. And things do change week by game,
don't they? Yeah. When those teams play each other in any games that are left between now and the season, could be game changers for either of those teams.
United, my friend.
I just wanted to go back there. Sheffield United, Chris Wilder. Now, we've enjoyed Sheffield United being back in the league. We've enjoyed Chris Wilder. I think his honesty, transparency, heart on the sleeve. A little bit old school, but good tactician. He's been with the football club. I didn't like, at the weekend, the public throwing the players under the bush to the point where saying to a couple of players, I can't wait for the end of the season to basically get rid of a couple of players. And if I could, I'd get rid of them now. Didn't like that, Rob. Didn't like that as a manager. I'm not sure whose benefit is that for.
Well, is it trying to protect his own back a little bit? And this embarrassing season is more on the players than it's on me.
I don't know, Rob. Is it messages? Is it messages upstairs? Is it to the fans? I think Chris Wilder's bigger and better than that. I don't think he needs to do that, Rob. Listen, if you're in the dressing room and you're having your say and you're going head to toe with people and all, do what you got to do. Keep it in there. You say what you got to say. Grab those guys in your office on a Monday if you feel it. Say what you got to say. Don't come and tell us on national TV and all around. I don't think it's any reason than for himself.
He likes talking in press conferences, Robbie. We know that. and he comes across as the very straight up, honest, I say as it is, Sheffield guy. And I get that. And there's a strong connection between him and the football club, obviously, for what he's done. Yeah. We saw this last year, Rob, and we've talked about it, where he called out his players when they lost the game, when they were like sat in sixth place in the Premier League. And these are Division One players. They're not so quick when they want a week off or they want a new contract. And at the time, I remember thinking, wow, that's nasty. Given how well they're doing, it shocked me. So, maybe what he said regarding the players he wants to get rid of, maybe it's not that much a surprise. And I don't know how he is with his players. I don't know if the players have taken some of this and thought, you know what, that's not cool. And I don't really know if I want to run myself into the ground for you.
The bigger point for me, Rob, is some of these players he's going to need to get him out of trouble get him out of the Championship next season. Some of these players you've got to have with you. And I ain't too sure if I've got a manager like that. And I know he's got loads of credit in the bank. And I know he's been there a long time. And he's done brilliant things at the football club. But this is Premier League. This is about being in the Premier League. And Frank Lampard loses his job, and Slaven Bilic loses their job, and people lose their jobs, and we, you know, think things are just doing okay. You know, pressure's going to be on Chris Wilder starting next season, Rob, because people will. He said this week. I heard it, him say midweek about we might have to look at the Burnley model. So we were up, we go down, we consolidate, we come back up again, and we stay strong.
Yeah.
It's fine if you come back, but you've got to come back first.
And also, I'm sure the relationship between the manager and the board at Burnley was rock solid. It sounds like there's a little bit of talk between Wilder now and the owners about investment, about, you know...
Technical director coming in between them, I think, and I don't think Wilder wants that. Contract
situation is saying, oh, I don't know what's going on. No one tells me. So... Yeah, to be fair, this has been an awful season. And mostly, Rob, he's been pretty honest throughout. It's like he's took it on the chin. I mean, they got 14 points after a ton of games, bottom of the league table. Is he going to start to implode a little bit?
Yeah. Given his It's not a good look. And I don't think he's a better manager than that. And I don't think it's a good look for him. But listen, we'll see. Maybe that's what pressure and the disappointment of obviously taking his hometown team down and having to fight back. But listen, mate, plenty going on this weekend, on a weekend when the city of Manchester has turned red. Well, at least for this weekend, at least as Manchester United get the win over City and then their long unbeaten run. Liverpool's poor form continues. Another defeat as they go down to Fulham in some of their worst run of form in over 60 years. We'll be back on Thursday, so date for your diary. Thursday, March the 11th, when we'll take a look back at all the European games. That'll be Champions League, with Liverpool taking on Leipzig. That's in Hungary. Liverpool are 2-0 up and could do with make sure they get a win in that game. And the Europa League on Thursday, Manchester United, Arsenal and Spurs, who all have matches. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.